acknowledge tonight, and I'm thankful for your kindness and your hospitality thus far, and thankful for the good meals and the good fellowship that we've had. And the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I thank God for all of His many blessings. I was thinking about the service tonight, and I hope tonight that those of us as God's people, that we will be edified. I pray that God will be glorified. And you that are lost in your heart, I hope that you will be terrified. Amen. And I know that when I was lost, I know that just before I got saved, I can remember this great fear in my heart. I had a great fear about the awful condition that I was in. And I read about that in the Bible. I read there in the 116th Psalm how the psalmist said, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." I believe he was afraid of the great condition that he was in, and so I pray tonight that for you that are here that are lost, and I know tonight that this would sound probably odd or perhaps even mean or malicious to someone that didn't understand what was being said. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, my prayer for you tonight is that your heart will be broken. Amen. Because the Bible tells me that God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And so I pray tonight that you will be torn up over your sinful condition. I pray that you will be to the point that you will turn to the Lord and seek Him with all that you have. Amen. That you might be saved. I came here tonight, as Brother Tim said, I came here tonight anticipating also a great God doing great things. And I came here tonight very much thinking about those who are lost being saved. There is nothing tonight, and I want you to know this, there is nothing tonight that will prevent you from being saved except for you. That's it. If you want to be saved, the devil and all of his demons don't have enough power to stop it.
Amen.
If a person really wants to be saved, and I do believe that the church can have a great influence upon people, but if a person really wants to be saved, they could be saved if the church is as cold as ice. Amen. They could be saved if they really wanted to be saved. There's nothing that will prevent your salvation except your own rejection of the Lord, your failure to believe. I want to talk tonight about a question that we find in the Scriptures that a man asked long ago. And I want to read some Scripture from Acts chapter 16. If you want to turn there with me and read along. Before I begin to read, I want to just give a very, very brief summary. I'm not going to go into, but just very little detail here. But the Apostle Paul had seen a vision. He had a vision. And in this vision, he had seen a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And Paul, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called him to preach the gospel to those people, he went. And he went there to the chief city of Macedonia, Philippi, however you may pronounce that. And what happened in that city, and I'm not going to detail this. You can read the 16th chapter of Acts for yourself if you're not aware of what happened and what caused this. But what ended up happening was Paul and Silas ended up in prison. They ended up in prison for something that they did for the Lord. And what they ended up doing actually caused people to begin to lose money. And so they imprisoned them. And I want to start reading with verse 23 of Acts chapter 16, talking about their imprisonment. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And I want to stop my reading there with verse 31. I want to speak to you tonight that are lost. If you're here tonight and you have not been saved, I want to ask you tonight to please give your undivided attention to the Word of the Lord. Amen. The Word of God is the most important thing that you're ever going to hear in your life. When we come to the house of God and we hear the Word of God, I believe it is the most important thing that we hear all week long. We hear a lot of garbage out in the world, don't we? But I want to ask you tonight to please listen to the Word of the Lord. And I'm a lot more interested tonight, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm a lot more interested tonight in you listening to God than you are to me. Amen. I am just His mouthpiece. I just came here tonight to do what the Lord called me to do. And as I speak before you tonight, I'm speaking for the Lord. I want you to understand how important that it is that God sent me here tonight with a message for you. Amen. And not only important, but you know, for those of you that are here tonight that are lost, that will hear, that is going to make you responsible before God as to what you do with the message. Amen. You know, people today in the world, they have this idea of take it or leave it. They have this idea that they can listen to the Word of God and they can say, "Well, you know, that really doesn't affect me. That really doesn't apply to me. I'm just going to remain neutral in that." Let me tell you something, friends. When God sends the message and you hear the message, there is no place to be neutral. You are going to be responsible for how you deal with what you are told. Amen. God does not take kindly to those that reject His Word. And that's proven to us many, many times in the Scriptures. I remember reading about how there was a time there, I believe it's recorded in 2 Chronicles perhaps, where the Lord talked about all the times that he had sent the prophets to his people. And he said that they had misused the prophets. They had rejected God's word, and the wrath of God arose against his people till there was no remedy. God does not like it when we misuse his word. So you please listen tonight to the word of the Lord. That's what I ask of you. And you listen to God when he speaks to your heart. You know, you may have experienced this. I'm persuaded perhaps that there are those here tonight that have. You may have experienced this, you that are lost tonight, that when you sit under the sound of the gospel, that there's something that bothers you. There's something that troubles you. There's something that disturbs your heart about the condition that you're in. And I want you to know something tonight. That's not the preacher doing that. We don't have that kind of power. We don't have that kind of effect on people's hearts. That's the Holy Spirit of God doing that to you. And he's not doing that to you to harm you. He's doing that to help you. Paul said that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will convict, and he'll make you feel bad about your sin before you get that relief. If we didn't, we wouldn't truly come to him, would we? If he didn't show us our lost condition, if he didn't show us where we stand before him, if he didn't show us that we were sick, then we would not haste to the great physician for healing, would we? God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. If you were to ask today this question, among the religious world around us, you would get a lot of different answers. If you were to ask several people that had gathered together from the various religious denominations around us today, this would have been somewhat true in the days of Christ. It's really true in the days that we live in. There are people today that have come up with ways that they believe that they can be saved, ways that they can believe they can be justified before God, that to be honest with you, I have no idea where they even got some of their ideas. There are some ideas in the world today that I can see where perhaps somebody has misused or misread or misinterpreted some scripture and caused them to see something in the wrong way. Some people have ideas about it that I don't know where they got them. But I do know this, that salvation is spiritual. Amen. And it is an experience. It is a spiritual experience that takes place between you and the Lord.
Amen.
I want us to think today about some of those ways that are common, some of those that are commonly spoken among the religious realm today. There's only one way to be saved. And I want to say that right now. There is only one way to really, truly be saved. And God's way leads to life. The Bible says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, any way other than God's way won't get you there. Any way other than God's way won't get you into heaven. You will not see heaven when this life is over unless you come to God and come His way. If you don't take advantage of the salvation that God is offering you, friend, you're going to miss it. Amen. And you're going to split hell wide open. Amen. You're going to spend eternity lost and in your sins and forever separated from the love and mercy of God in hell, where the fire burns and is never quenched. And you're going to be there forever unless you come to God the way that He has made for you to come. I believe the truth just needs to be plain. The Bible doesn't make a great mystery about how to be saved, does it? It really doesn't. The Bible doesn't speak to us about being saved. It doesn't speak to us in great deep parallels of thought that nobody would be able to understand. The Word of God is very plain about what a person must do in order to be saved. The Bible also speaks very plainly about ways that man has devised whereby they think they can be saved, and the Bible tells us that they cannot be saved that way. And I want to speak to you about some of them tonight. But first, I want to remind you of something that happened long ago. And this was something that we have recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. We have record of a conversation there that took place between Jesus Christ and a religious man, a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. And as he spoke to Jesus there, Jesus told him, he said, "You must be born again." Amen. You know, when you say something must be done, it means it is absolutely imperative. It implies necessity. And that's what Jesus told this religious man. You must be born again. And he didn't understand what Jesus was saying there. In fact, he misunderstood it to a point that he asked the question. He said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Listen, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus was trying to tell him about this spiritual birth that he would have to experience if he was going to be saved. Now tonight, you may have a misunderstanding about what it takes to be saved. You may not be confused in the same way that Nicodemus was confused. You may not be foolish enough tonight to think about asking the question of entering back into your mother's womb and being naturally born again. You may not have the same disturbed thought that Nicodemus had. But let me tell you something, friends. Any type of misconception about what it takes to really be saved is detrimental to your eternal welfare. Amen. Any way that you misunderstand it, you need to know the truth. Amen. About being saved. And church, in the midst of all of the heresy, in the midst of all of man's ideas that we have to deal with today, we need to stand for the truth, don't we? We need to just flat out preach the truth to people. And I'm glad today that there are still churches like this church here and like the church where I'm privileged to be a member. I'm thankful to God today that there are still people telling other people what they have to do to be saved. When you stand before God one day, because every one of us will, one day every one of us that's here tonight, everyone that's in the world, one of these days we're going to all stand before God Almighty. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat. And we must give an account of the things that we have done in the body, whether they're good or bad. We're going to stand before God one day and we're going to give an account. And listen, when you stand before Him, this is important to me. It's extremely important to the Lord. I hope it is important to you tonight. When you stand before the Lord, my great desire for you is that in that day that you stand before Him, that you'll have that which is right. Amen. What a sad day it really will be for those that stand before the Lord and don't have that which is right. Jesus said it'll happen, didn't He? You read Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, there'll be many that will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and in thy name cast out devils? And He said, I'll say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Listen, you can be as religious as you want to be in this world, but if you don't have salvation, if you've not been born again by the Spirit of God, when you stand before Him and you begin to tell Him about all of the things that you've done, it's not going to mean a thing to the Lord. It won't mean a thing to Him. He won't let you in. He'll say unto you, depart, because I never knew you. There are people today, and I want to say this too. Somewhere along the way, people got this idea. You know, we really, in our nation today, I'm convinced we're really spoiled people. We really are. We, in many ways, we have spoiled ourselves. And there are so many people that just want everything their way. I want it my way. You know, it's my way or nothing. And I believe that in that type of thinking, people think, well, you know, just because you believe it's that way don't mean it's that way for me. You know, maybe that's your way of being saved. That don't necessarily mean it's my way. Let me tell you something. God made one way. Amen. He made one way. He didn't make a way for you and a way for me and another way for somebody else. God made one way of salvation, and it is good for every culture. It's good for every generation. Amen. It's good for people no matter where they lived, no matter where they were born, no matter where they were brought up, no matter what their race was, no matter what their background was, no matter what their culture was, no matter what they were taught when they were growing up, there is one way to be saved, and that's God's way. And He only made one way for all of us. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus knew that Nicodemus was religious. He knew that he was a religious man. He knew that he was a ruler of the Pharisees. He knew that Nicodemus believed in keeping the law. He knew that Nicodemus believed in, you know, if God said, don't do this, to not do it. And if God said, do it, to be sure that you did it. He knew that Nicodemus had religious beliefs, but he also knew that he didn't have a right heart. Friends, your heart's got to be right with God. Until your heart is right with God, no matter what you do, it'll never justify you before Him. There are so many people still in the world today that believe that they can work their way into God's favor. It's not going to happen, is it? The Bible is very plain about that. In Paul's epistle to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You see, the problem with man is that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God. And there's only one thing that can wash away our sins, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, you need to get it under the blood. You can't work it away. That stain of sin upon your soul, you can't work it away. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. I guess tonight, if I had something that I wanted to get across more than anything tonight, it is that salvation is of the Lord. Amen. It's of the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord through the working of the Holy Spirit, through His conviction, through His reproving. It's the Holy Spirit of God in connection with His truth that shows us that we're lost. I'm going to tell you something tonight, friend. I don't know your heart. I'm not able to look into your heart. I am not able to see where you stand before God. But I assure you tonight that He knows. And I assure you that God will let you know. And that's between you and the Lord. And it's the Lord that shows us and lets us know when we're lost. And it must be Him that lets us know when we're saved. Amen. Don't grab onto something hoping that you're all right. Know that you're all right. Amen. Don't say, well, but I've done this and I've done that. And I've been this type of person and I've been that type of person. When I was a kid, I was baptized. I became a part of this church or that church. Friend, I'm telling you, the church won't even get you to heaven. Amen. The Lord loved the church. The Bible tells us that He loved the church and gave Himself for it. But salvation is not of the church. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. And it's not of man. Amen. You know what's wrong with that type of belief? You know what's wrong with believing that you can work your way into heaven? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's not of the Lord. It's of man. It's man's way of thinking. It was the way that the Pharisees thought. They thought they could work themselves into the good graces of God. They thought that they could justify themselves before God by that which they were doing. But that type of thinking is of man. That type of thinking falls exactly into what the Bible told us when it said there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. That type of thinking that you can work your way into heaven needs to be put into that category because it is of man and not of God. Amen. It's been believed for many, many years now by many people. And you know what? Every one of them that died hanging on to that lost their soul in eternal damnation. Everyone. Everyone. Today in our world, around us today, I spoke about this a little bit last night. Today in our world, something that's very prevalent is people trying to tell other people whether or not they've been saved. It's no good. No good. It's not God's way. It is not God's way. God has His own way of telling us whether we're saved or not. God has the way that He has designed to do that. I'll tell you what, friends, when I got saved, there were no preachers around me. There were no deacons around me. There was no congregation around me. I was not in a church when I got saved. I was not in a religious service when I got saved. The only person that was with me was a friend of mine that I had grown up with, and he was lost as well. He was the only one that was in my presence when I got saved. But when I cried out to God, God let me know that He had saved me. He let me know. And I've often thought about, you know what? When I stand before the Lord one of these days, if God were to say to me, well, how do you know you've been saved? How do you know that you're all right with me? I'd be able to say, well, Lord, you know, back there that night in the summer of 1973, you told me I was. You told me. Boy, that's what's important, isn't it? Amen. People stand before other people, and they have designed a prayer. They have said, you come up here and you repeat these words after me. You come up here and you say the prayer that I tell you to say. And because you've done these things, you've met the scriptural requirements. And if you've done these things, then, you just claim salvation and go your way. Never mind that their heart hasn't changed. Never mind that they haven't felt anything from God. They've just been told by somebody that they're okay, and people are being deceived by the thousands that way. And I'll tell you what's wrong with it is it's not of the Lord. Amen. It's man's way. It's something that man has devised, and the sad thing about it is that many times it's just being used so that people can fill up their church. It's being used so they can get a big number of names on the church roll. It's being used so that they may have more people to throw money into the offering plate. Let me tell you something, friend, tonight, you need to be saved. You need to know for yourself that you've been saved by the grace of God. You don't need anything tonight that man has for you. You need tonight what God has to give you. I'll tell you what, boy, I'll tell you something. Listen, out there in the state of California, late at night in the summer of 1973, I got a good dose of God's salvation. To be honest with you, when I got saved, I was pretty ignorant. I told you last night I'm still not too smart. When I got saved, I honestly was pretty ignorant of things. I didn't know a whole lot about God's Word, to be honest with you. I let a lot of my, I read the Bible. I did. I read the Bible when I was young. But I didn't really study it. I let a lot of my young, years slip away. I didn't really know a whole lot about God's Word. But when God spoke peace to my soul, I knew what happened. I knew exactly what had happened. And the witness of that is not in the Scriptures. People thought it was. People today still think it is. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. I'll tell you how God, the way that God made for us to know that we have been saved. The Bible says, and I'll quote this again tonight from what I said last night, It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call upon him the way that God has said you'll have to call upon him, if you'll call upon the name of God from the depths of your heart, if you'll turn by his help away from your sin and repent of your sin and turn to God and trust him with all of your heart, if you will call upon God from your heart in that way, you will be saved. And then, God's way is this. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. He said, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Those of you tonight that have been saved, isn't that what happened to you? Sure it was. It's what happened to me. It's real, isn't it? It's real. The salvation that God offers is real. I've heard all kinds of sad responses. I've been given all kinds of sad answers. When I have asked people, where do you stand with God? When I have asked people, have you been saved? I've heard all kinds of strange answers come from people. Well, yeah, I've been saved because I did this and I did that. And I had this person baptize me or this person read to me. People have just told me all kinds of strange answers to that question. But the salvation that the Bible teaches us about, friends, it's real. I mean, there's nothing phony about it. There's nothing superficial about it. There's nothing that man had part in. You know, as we sang in the song tonight, you know that he touched you and made you whole. And you need to seek after that until you know that that is what you have. You need to know it yourself. You need to know it yourself. You need to be able to stand before the Lord yourself, knowing that you have been justified by his grace. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I've heard people say that we're all going to heaven because we're all God's children. But we're not, are we? We're not all God's children. They confuse God's creation with God's children. We are all God's creation, aren't we? Every one of us was created by God. We are all God's creation. But if you're ever going to be his child, you're going to have to be created in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to be made that new creature. You're going to have to be spiritually created if you're going to be his child. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I came tonight to tell you this, that there is a salvation that God offers you. There's all kinds of ways that man will offer you that'll lead you to a devil's hell. But there is a salvation that God offers you that will lead you to eternal life. Amen. There is a salvation that God offers you that's real. And when you get it, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You're going to know that you got something that came from God. You're going to know that you got something that's real. You can get something from God that will assure your soul completely that when you die, everything will be well with your soul. I mean, what God gave me when He saved me has completely assured my soul that when I leave this world, everything is going to be okay. It's well with my soul. Is it with yours? What must I do to be saved? Paul answered his question. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you'll do that, if you'll really believe with all your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Let's sing. Lost friend, you need that which God only has to give to you. You need to be saved by God's grace. Won't you come to the Lord while we stand and sing? Come to the Lord. You come seeking the Lord because you are responsible to God for yourself. Amen. You come seeking the Lord. You come. Don't let anybody bother you. Don't let anybody hinder you. You come to God yourself, seeking Him for salvation. Let's stand and sing.